Good morning to each one. I extend a welcome to each one that is gathered in here this morning. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for the warm welcome that we received when we came back. It's very special to open the fridge door and find food in our fridge. I know that you all didn't have to, and we appreciated that. And thank you, each one that helped us out while we were gone, when the water levels were rising, and get rid of the water around our place. We appreciated that very much, and hopefully someday we can return the favor, although I would rather you not experience a flood so that I can help you out maybe some other way. Bring you Christian greetings this morning. The church there at Piedmont wishes to send their greetings. Enjoyed our time there very much. I'm not sure exactly what was shared the last two Sundays while we were gone. I got little tidbits here and there, but I wasn't here and didn't experience it, and I'm a bit nervous that maybe I'm just preaching what the two brethren shared already, and yet I don't think so. Trusting the Spirit of God to direct us this morning in our thoughts. I want to think about, and this is the title of the message, The Heart of Man. And there is a lot of different directions a person could go with this thought, the heart of man. And I'm not going to start there, but what led me to this was Matthew 15. I was looking in my Bible yesterday, looking for something to share, praying about it. And I read Matthew 15, the first part, and I just felt like God was laying a message on my heart. So Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And I thought about that for a while after I read Matthew chapter 15. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And I looked at my own life, thought about my own experiences, thought about my own heart in so many different times where I tried to convince myself. And I think this is a common thing that we all do with ourselves. We convince ourselves that we are right. We mentally think about where we're at in life, and we are right, and the others are wrong. And we can deceive ourselves so quickly by going that direction. And I heard an older brother make this statement once. He probably made it more than once, and I don't know if he would still believe this way, but I think he probably does. He says that all children are born with both feet headed straight for hell. And that's kind of a terrible thing to think about, but I believe it's a true statement. You watch children that are left to themselves, no training or very little training, the parents don't do much teaching, and they have a sin nature in them. Now we know they're innocent, but we as people do not naturally drift towards God. We are born with both feet headed straight for hell. It is the parent's job to instruct the child, to show by example a better way. And here's what the ironic thing is, and in that time of instructing, the parents themselves are dealing in their own hearts with a deceitful and desperately wicked heart. That is our natural tendency. We like to pat ourselves on the back and say, well, you know, no, my heart isn't that. But really at the core of each one of us, our heart is desperately wicked. As we think about these verses, do we grasp what Jeremiah is saying? It seems like in life that we tend to gravitate towards thoughts of generally excusing ourselves, making room for our own carnality in our own hearts. while holding others to a standard that we do not even have. And I'm not saying this is where we all are, but I think it is within man to gravitate towards this kind of thinking. If you'd be in Jeremiah 17, verse 10, has the answer to the question at the end of verse 9. At the end of verse 9, it says, who can know it? And verse 10 starts out with, I, the Lord, search the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. There is the answer. So turn to Isaiah 29. I want to read some verses here before we go to Matthew 15. Isaiah chapter 29. I'm going to break in here and start reading at verse 9. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as the people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as a potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he hath no understanding? I'm just going to stop reading there. And I came here to this portion because where we're going to go in Matthew 15, Jesus quotes verse 13, which is the heart of where I want to think about this morning. There's a lot we could speak about on this passage, but I wanted us to get an understanding of what surrounded these verses of verse 13. It's a dark picture of where God's people were at in their spiritual journey as you look at this chapter. This is a generation of people that had a lot of outward ceremonies, that did a lot of things. And in fact, if I understand this portion of time correctly, they did a lot of right things. They did their sacrifices. They went to the temple to worship. They, in a sense, did what the law required them of Jews to do. They did a lot of works right. They went through all the motions just right. But God, when he searched their hearts, came to the conclusion that their hearts were far from him. And I wanted to also notice verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work. What is this work that God will do? And is this work available for you and I today? Now let's turn to Matthew 15. If you've not already turned there, Matthew 15, and I'm going to read the first 20 verses at this time. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and saith unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatso entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Notice how Jesus begins in this chapter. And he takes the Pharisees right where each one of us today need to go. And not just once in a lifetime, but from time to time, we need to go right here to the heart of the matter. What is the important things of life? What is the heart of life? The Pharisees' focus was on the traditions of men. But in verse 3, Jesus takes and he asks them a question that takes them to the heart of God. What does God really want out of you, people? What really is the heart of God for us today? And I believe that every facet of relationship, and in that I mean as fathers, church leaders, business leaders, wherever you find yourself in life, and relating to people, no matter the responsibility, we face this. We face how do you get to the heart of people that you're relating to? And I wish many times that I had the wisdom and the perception of Jesus. He so often, especially in dealing with the Pharisees, he was able to ask just the right question and take them right to the heart of the matter. And there the Pharisees needed to make a decision. Will I believe God's way, or am I going to continue in my own way? And Jesus did this again in this little story. Jesus took their focus off the rules. And I don't believe that in doing this, Jesus is saying that hygiene is not important. This morning I was up at my dad's pond cleaning some algae off around the fountain that I installed. And algae is nasty stuff to touch with your hands. Well, I came back, and even before I poured my cup of coffee, I wanted to wash my hands. Now, it would not have defiled me to the point of separation from God to not wash my hands. And so I don't think Jesus is saying, you know, you get done doing chores, milking the cow or whatever your chores are, picking up eggs, it's a good idea to wash your hands. I don't think Jesus is minimizing that. But the focus that the Pharisees had was that you were separated from God if you did not follow these traditions. If you did not wash your hands before you ate, you were cut off from God because you didn't follow the traditions. And I did not take the time to study into what Jesus was actually referring to. Just going on my memory here, what Jesus challenged them with in 4, 5, and 6. But I believe it was something to do in relation to taking care of their parents when they were elderly. Rather than giving their parents money to live on, they said, well, it's a gift for God and you know, you're just out of luck. I think it was something down that line. It would be better if we would study into it more. But the Pharisees were doing something with their lives that actually was disobeying the commandment of God to honor thy father and thy mother. They were willing to break that commandment, but yet they held the people to a standard of if you didn't practice the correct hygiene, you were separated from God. And they had things all mixed up. And Jesus is saying, what is in your heart is what defiles you, not what you take in physically with your mouth. I don't want to minimize our church standards today. They have their place. They have their needs. They are important. But our church standards are simply present-day applications to guide us. And I will say this, the deliberate breaking of them or ignoring them most likely indicates a deeper issue within the heart. But our standards are never higher than the commandments of God. The commandments of God, what God has laid out for us, and I appreciated Michael's devotions this morning so much because I believe that is the highest commandment that God has given us is to love. To love God and to love each other. Not with the phileo love, but with the agape love. And that supersedes our church standards and all other commandments that God has given us. But I did want to take a little bit of time and think about some of our church standards. They need to change. Some of them need to change as the world changes. They're simply an application to guide us in the present things that we face. Think about 50 years ago. You could have taken our church standards from 50 years ago, opened them up, and there would have been zero about internet in there, because internet didn't exist. There was no application. Today, it is something that it's a present day thing that we have to wrestle with. And I believe many churches in the world today are wrestling with this whole internet thing. Just as an example, 100 years ago, cars and their color were a very hot point of discussion. See, 100 years ago, they would have had cars, I believe. I didn't really stop to do the math. I just put 100 years down. But I think cars were just coming out, and it was a sign of wealth to own a car. And what I find interesting is black was the standard color of a car, and that's the color you needed to have. If you deviated from the black, it was another sign of wealth and following the world. Now, I find it interesting, when I was dating, I lived in Idaho, and black had taken on a different meaning. For me, black was a sign of wealth, status. I mean, if you drove a nice, shiny black rig, yeah, you sat up. Well, then I met my girlfriend, which is now my wife, and somewhere in our relationship growing, I mentioned about how neat black cars were. Well, she had a complete different response coming from Lebanon County, PA. See, things change. Church standards, applications change, but God's commandments never change. And one pressure that I think never goes away is the pull that this world has on our hearts. In dress and in fashion, but also just simply the fact that being pulled into the world, what is in our hearts really matters. And it is easy, so easy for us as humans to get sidetracked by our traditions and miss what is really in the heart. I don't have the exact dates or years on this. Some of you older ones could help me out, but radio and television were a dividing issue in the Mennonite church. And look at where so many of the churches, I'm not going to say all, but so many of the churches that accepted both of these, look at where they are today. There's no sign of separation between them and the world. In fact, many of those churches that did not take a stand against, especially the television, now accept many things that are direct commandments against the Word of God. We face that same issue today, I believe, over again through our apps. There's many apps that are no different than the radio and the television. And there's people that right in our churches that use these apps. And it's really no different than having the radio and the television. We can argue and discuss this point all day long, but I think it just to make it real simple, there's really no difference. The availability, the opportunity is there. And I don't have the answers on how to work through all this and make present day applications. I beg of us to consider these and pray about them and work. But I do know this. The heart is desperately wicked. And if within our hearts, we're at the place of verse 19 of Matthew 15, there will be no amount of church standards that will keep us from verse 19. Even though we may have some of these apps and within our church standards, we accept some of these, if down in the depths of our heart, we really want. No, we don't want to go to the depths that some people do, but we want just a little bit of evil thoughts. We want just a little bit of, well, we're not going to go to murder, but getting even. We want a little bit of that for forbidden adultery and fornication, the fantasy of it. But no, we're not going to go out and do it, but we like a little bit of it. Taking advantage of people. The false witness, we want just a little bit of it. If our hearts are there, it doesn't matter what the church standards are. We are defiled. We are separated from God. And that is the heart of what I want to think about this morning. We do well to put things in place to guide ourselves and our children. But at the depth of these things, it is a heart issue. Where is our hearts? I want to go to the Sermon on the Mount. I just keep coming back to these simple teachings of Jesus that we sometimes wrestle with. I'm not going to read the entire Sermon on the Mount, but I would like you to follow along. We're going to just bounce through some of these verses. I want to look at what Jesus taught us here. Notice verse 2 that Jesus sat down and taught the people. This is what God, this teaching, this Sermon on the Mount, this is what God wants for his creation. This is the heart of God for us as his creation, the people that he created, not just us here at Sunshine, but Luna County, the entire state of New Mexico, the entire world. This is what God wants us to live by. We don't have to. We can choose not to. We become his sons and daughters when we obey from the heart these teachings. Verses 3 to 12 is the Beatitudes. I'm not going to take time to read them. We know them well. But if you stop and think about it, and I encourage you to do this, and I may say this several times as we go through the Sermon on the Mount. All these teachings, especially here, well, all of them, but right here in the sermon, or the Beatitudes, these are all heart issues. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. I'll read that one. There is no way to be genuinely meek unless it's within our hearts. We can attempt to fake meekness for a while. But Jesus is very correct in saying that what is in our hearts will come out. It will come out. Our fruit will come out. And if we don't have a meek heart, it's going to come out. These are genuine heart issues. Let's go to verses 17 through 20. It's all I'm going to say about those verses there, that they are a heart issue. There's no way to live these on the surface level for a lifetime. It's a hard issue. Verse 17 says, this is Jesus, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not coming to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and of the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Those verses are very fascinating to me, because in those days, the people looked up to the scribes and the Pharisees as the righteous people, and Jesus is saying, you need to be more righteous than them. And it's because it's a hard issue. The Pharisees and scribes did not live out the law that Moses had provided from the heart. They had the external right, but their heart was not in it. Verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother... I'm just going to stop reading there. We think about murder. It's what Jesus is addressing here, murder. And he's taking us to a higher standard. The Pharisees and the scribes could have withheld from the act of murder. But Jesus is saying we need to take a step back from the actual deed. All murder starts within the heart. There is anger within my heart when I want to murder somebody. And it's a heart issue. That's where it starts inside of us. Our rights have been violated. We've been hurt or something. And we take that within our heart and it builds. It's a heart issue. Jesus' teaching is what happens on the outside starts first within the heart. We could go to verse 27. He talks of adultery. And then he follows up, but I say unto you, the standard now is who that looks on a woman. And the act of adultery does not start with a person waking up one morning and all of a sudden saying, I'm going to go commit adultery. No, it starts in the heart. There is a fantasy, a desire for something that is not right. It is a heart issue. That is where it begins. And that is what Jesus is teaching here in Matthew 15. What defiles us starts within the heart. It's not what we take in physically through the mouth. We could go to verse 31. Is the very same principle. Verse 33, I see this oath keeping a little bit different than taking the Lord's name in vain. I think they can go hand in hand, but I think what Jesus is talking about is a little different. In fact, I should back up and make a little bit more of a comment on verse 31. The person that follows through with divorce does not just wake up one morning and, oh, I want to leave my partner. No, it starts with the heart. Looking at another partner, being dissatisfied with the person that God has brought into your life, and it begins to, thoughts begin to form within our heart and in our mind, and eventually divorce happens. And so simply just keeping ourselves married is not, that's not what Jesus wants. He wants the heart. He wants us united with our partners for life from the heart. Verse 33, let's continue there. This oath keeping, I see it more as keeping commitments and promises. I think it's different than swearing by taking the Lord's name in vain, but I think it can also go hand in hand. It's a heart issue to have the integrity to always tell the truth. We ought to be able to be known, to walk into the courtroom and there's no question. We don't even need to put our hand on the Bible and affirm or swear. We have the reputation that we are going to tell the truth all the time. And taking the Lord's name as an oath to tell the truth is no effect. It's a heart issue. It's being able to live. Verse 38, we have... loving our enemies. You cannot turn the other cheek. We cannot go the second mile unless it's within the heart. As much as we would like to think we're better than that, God has created us in such a way that it's a heart issue. It's from the heart. And we could go on, running out of time here. I did want to look at our almsgiving, our prayers there again. It's fine to have a nice flowery prayer, but what Jesus is really talking about is, are you connected with God from the heart? It doesn't matter the words that come out necessarily, but the important thing is your heart connected with God in a relationship? And sometimes that takes being by ourselves in that closet, talking to God when no one else can hear. Our almsgiving, our good deeds, I'm not sure completely what Jesus means by that, but that is a heart issue. If we're doing it to be seen of men, it's useless. It's right down the line of what Michael talked about in devotions. If we're just depending on our good deeds to build our relationships because they're seen of men, it's empty and useless. Think about this in the coming days. Think about some of the rest of these in chapter 6 and 7 yet that we did not touch on. Ponder them in your heart, and you will find that in all of Jesus' teachings, that at the core, at the heart, is a choice between self-exaltation, self-preservation, and or just simply a focus on self. We have that on one side, or a focus on the things of God. Love, mercy, truth, relationship, and we could go on with that list. Our hearts are desperately wicked. And yet, as being brought up as Anabaptist believers, we know that going wholesale into these things is certain destruction. But I'm afraid too many times we say, but only if I could have a little bit. Only. No, I don't want to go wholesale into these, but I want just a little bit in my heart. I like what Isaiah had to say there, or Jeremiah, I believe, where he said, it is the Lord that searches the heart. Are we asking God to search our hearts of the things that really defile us? Yes, the church standards are important. Laws of the land are important. We need to follow them. But what is really in your heart, in my heart? What is coming out of our hearts? David also cries out to God and says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me the right spirit. Is that our heart cry? Are we desperately following after God? I know that we have our old nature to deal with, and in that is that desperately wicked heart. And as I said before, Jesus is teaching what we take in physically is not going to separate us from God. But that the separation from God starts within the heart. And so often, it starts with just a little desire for our own way. I just want this thing. That little bit of simply, I want self. I want self-preservation. I want self-exaltation. I want just a little bit of it. Surely I deserve a little bit of it. God created us. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, God created us to serve Him. God created that garden. He placed man within it, and he commanded them to dress and to keep it. We are created to serve. And for us today, a lot of that serving comes, we serve God by serving others. But in the fall of man, we began to serve ourselves. Okay? There's been a shift. When we disobeyed God, there is a shift. And we talked about in Sunday school the city of Corinth and how it's so much like the world that we find ourselves in. You just take a little time to think about it, and it is the serving of self that drives that lifestyle around us. And so often that drive to serve ourselves is at the expense of others. It matters what is in the heart. Jesus also taught this at the end of Matthew 7. And he said, by their fruit ye shall know them. So as we come to conclusion on this, I think there's two simple statements we can make. We think about verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. This is what defiles a man. So if Jesus is in our hearts, Jesus will come out. If we have accepted the plan of salvation and our focus is Jesus, then Jesus will come out. His love will come out. And that's the battle that we're in. Crucifying self. Crucifying this desperately wicked heart so that Jesus can live in our hearts and accept the blood of Jesus, and by his grace we live each day. But if self is in the heart, then self will come out. You can't have both. It'll be one or the other. Jesus in our hearts, Jesus will come out. If self is in the heart, then self will come out. Let's kneel for prayer.